Good morning, good morning. Good to see you all here. We're going to start our hymn sing. And we already have a suggestion, 704, 704. We'll do verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3, okay, I hope. Yes. 451, I heard. 451. 451. Be thou my vision. And is verses 1 and 3 okay? 1 and 2? 1 and 3. Okay, 1 and 3 of page 451. For a few more, yeah, Jenny. 314, I believe. Yeah, that was my dad's favorite hymn, and it was the same page number in my hymnal in the Congregational Church in Montana. 314. Verses 1 and 3, okay? That's 314.
To the Lord and all.
right, I think we have time for one more. Yes, Alita. Soon and very soon, 1 and 3. And you see the verses are typed down below there for verse 3. 706. Service.
Thank you, Colleen. Thank you. Your music is always beautiful. Welcome to the United Methodist Church House of Faith. Welcome to everyone. Glad you're here today. It's a beautiful day. If you would all please sign in on the red pew pads that are at the end of the pew and then send them back to the center, I guess. We need to know you're here. We want to know you're here. We're happy you're here. Okay, we have some announcements. We have our March birthdays. For happy birthday to Cheryl Stevens, Becky King, Rachel Moore, Destiny Fountain, Alicia Medina, Jennifer Kelsey, who's here today, and Jan Pasqua and Denise Hinckley. Happy birthday to all of you. And the March newsletter is in the narthex, and if you'd like to pick one up, or if you'd like to have it and you don't have it on your coming to you as an email, it's nice to have that too. So, but you can grab one as you walk out. And March 28th is Parents' Night Out, and the children will be painting a springtime pot and plant and a flower or a tomato plant to take home and grow. Ooh, that's fun. I might go. I need help. I'm the worst farmer ever. And next, we need contributions to support our two Common Hope-sponsored children in Guatemala. If you can help out with a donation over and above your regular giving, please mark it for Common Hope on the envelope. The next pastor's luncheon will be on April 9th at noon at Legends 8, cost $15. Sign up on the sign-up sheet on the scripts table, and or you can call into the office if you need. Book club meets April 15th, which is Tuesday, in the Camellia Room. Ooh, they're giving you a little head start on the book. It's called The Frozen River by Ariel Lawson. Or you can even go into it on Zoom if you'd like, just to see what it's like if you'd like. They have good discussions. The Interfaith Communities Support Center is struggling and needs our community, so please donate a little extra non-perishable goods if you could, and you can just leave them on the pew that's out in the narthex. And next, is that it? Okay. The movie, the free movie on Saturday will be on April 12th, not the first Saturday of the month, so we'd like you to come. It's called City of Ember. It's in Faith Theater 2. It is on April 12th because there is a conflict on the first Saturday. I was reading the thing out there. It looks like a really interesting movie. So please come and join us. And then on April 12th, after the movie, there's a 90th birthday celebration for Darlene Coleman. It's a potluck in the Fellowship Hall at 1 o'clock. And we're hoping that you can attend. And I think that is it. Although I have something to kind of squish in there. I kind of talked to the pastor about this, having a bake sale on Palm Sunday in the Fellowship Hall after church. And I'm asking for donations for all you good Christian hands to make some goodies and bring, and we'll sell them and give the proceeds to the budget of the church. And that is it. So now, if you will stand, if you can, for the call to worship. God, my God, it's you. I've searched for you. My whole being thirsts for you. My body desires you in a dry and tired land, no water anywhere. Yes, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen your power and glory. My lips praise you because your faithful love is better than life itself. So I will bless you as long as I'm alive. I will lift up my hands in your name. I am fully satisfied as with a fulfilling meal. Whenever I meditate on you in the middle of the night, my mouth speaks praise with joy on my lips, because you are a help to me, and I shout for joy in the protection of your wings. I will come to the waters, seek the Lord, and repent so that I may live. Amen. Our hymn is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, number 64, 1, 3, and 4. Okay, now it's time to pass the peace with your neighbors.
Thank you.
Hey, do you want to say hello to these people on the iPad?
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start out by welcoming the people on Zoom, Helen and June and Joyce and Bill and April and George and Joanne Dyerly. It's wonderful to see you there. And Trudy and Alicia and Brian and Janine and Chris. So, a lot of people on Zoom today. I want to start out by thanking the people that came for Jerry's memorial service yesterday. It was a really nice service and it was a good memento. And if anybody wants to see the pictures we have of Jerry, there's a slideshow I can run in the camellia room until we start the, you know, Sunday school thing in there. I also want to tell you that this is the sign-up sheet for Darlene Coleman's 90th birthday celebration. That's also going to be on April 12th, right after the movie. It's a potluck, so they'd like everybody to bring something. So if you can come, please sign up here. And also the lunch, pastor's lunch sign-up will be over there. So that will be at the script table today.
Good morning. As you can see, Sophie and Lorene are not here today. You can't pry Sophie away from Lorene. Lorene is very weak. She's taking her medication. And I got to tell you about this medication. It's not a blood thinner. It's something that is specifically made to dissolve clots. So we got the prescription and we were down in the desert, so they sent it to a pharmacy for us to pick up there. And we have wonderful health insurance, thank God for that. And just out of curiosity, when we went to pick it up, I says, what is the price on this? They said for a 30-day supply, it's $1,000. I says, what are we paying today? He says, $42. I says, well, I can handle that. They told her at the Eisenhower that this should do it. It's a small clot in her right lung. And they said, you're going to come back at the end of that 30 days and we're going to scan you again. Even if it shows that the clot is gone, we are going to have you take another 30 days of that just as insurance. So that's where we're at now, and she is very, she's very tired. So she wasn't up to coming, and Sophie wants to be with her. So that's where we're at. Praise God. I give everybody here a heads up so it's not a big surprise. Eventually, and when I say eventually, it might be quite a while, we are going to move down to the desert full time. When we do that, we're going to keep our membership here, and we will come to church, probably not every Sunday, but we love this church, and we love the people here. Thank you.
My name is Jenny Kelsey, and I have a lot of prayer requests, but yesterday I celebrated my 55th birthday. And the best birthday present ever was that I got to spend it with my dad. And they're just incredible people. And this is an incredible church. I grew up here in the church. And I wouldn't be who I am today without all of you and my support system, and especially my parents and my daughter. So thank you all for being part of my life.
Alita Kirker here. I just wanted to give you an update on Trudy Baird. She's still in pain from the fracture in her arm. Her arm's bruised almost from the wrist all the way up her shoulder. And she'll be seeing her doctors this week. So hopefully we can get her a little more on the road to healing. Also, Chris is recovering from her throat surgery. She can now is allowed to speak a little bit, but not much, and not eat too much, only soft food. So keep Trudy and Chris in your prayers.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores. I just have a joy. Yesterday, Allison and I got to go down and see the babies, and that's the most fun I have all week. I get to, Wren doesn't do much. She still barely can crawl, but Vienne is up on her feet and running around, and I chase her and chase her and chase her, and I can never catch her quite. But after I get really tired, I go sit down, and she goes and finds something else to do. But anyway, she's a delight.
Can you hear me? There we go. We also have a joy that Robin and Bill are here visiting, so welcome. Thanks. And I too have a joy. Last week I was not here because I had a family get together with my sons, their families, my niece and her family, my sister, her daughter, and her boyfriend, and we just had a really nice day with all the little kids running around. My three-year-old niece, I hadn't seen her in almost a year and a half or 2 years. She's three now, and she's so pretty and just so sweet. And my two little grandchildren are the best. And I got to spend Friday with the littlest one, Graham, and then last night I had dinner with Cannon, who picked up a big soggy wet bunch of napkins because he spilled his water and pitched it straight at my face. But we had a good time. And is there anyone on Zoom if you want to unmute and raise your hand? No takers? Okay, in that case, if you'll join me with the unison prayer. Gracious God, be patient with us in the diverse landscapes of our lives. Make us patient with one another and even with ourselves. Do your good work within us, among us, and beyond us until our lives and all of creation come fully into your realm. In all we do this day, use us as a sign of your reconciliation and unconditional love. Let us not view anyone from the human point of view, but let us all whom we encounter each and every day through the eyes of Christ. With all interactions, let us share Jesus' compassion and forgiveness as he has generously shared with us. Amen.
This morning, we have invited Austin and Lori to lead us in singing of the Lord's Prayer. I encourage you to listen to the words thoughtfully as we sing them together. As we continue in the spirit of prayer, offer your own prayers at this time of silence and of peace. Gracious God, let your Holy Spirit open our insight, remove our unawareness, kindle our passion for Jesus, connect us more deeply to you through our petitions to you. We ask you, our loving God, to hear our prayers for the needs of the world, saying,
God of love and forgiveness, hear our prayers.
For the Church of Christ and for the people of faith who call upon God by other names, that where there is a need for peace and a need to lessen our divisions, let your Spirit bring deeper understanding and reconciliation to us and our neighbors.
God of love and forgiveness, hear our prayers.
For all who suffer in the land from hunger, homelessness, poverty, and illness, especially those who have been or are deeply impacted during this time of uncertainty through death, grave illness, financial distress. and for each of the specific people that we are praying for during this time.
God of love and forgiveness, hear our prayers.
For children and for those who are raising children in this very complicated world, that in the midst of their common struggles, there will be times of great joy and happiness.
God of love and forgiveness, hear our prayers.
For all nations, for all leaders, for all town councils, for all peacekeepers and peacemakers, legislators at all levels of government, for people who work toward democracy, for those who fight against change, and for those who fight for change in the name of justice, and for those who have won and for those who have lost, may they continue to work towards an understanding.
God of love and forgiveness, hear our prayers.
For those of us who have shown us how to live in faith, with grateful hearts, we ask you to hear our prayers. With the words of thanksgiving and gratitude, keep us in your care, surround us with your unconditional love, and lead us with understanding and wisdom to be more Christ-like.
God of love and forgiveness, hear our prayers.
Gracious and loving God, for all that has transpired in your world, we pray for peace to come where it is most needed. We thank you for the work we have been given to do in your name. We ask your presence now for rest and renewal, in safety and in calm, that tomorrow we may seek your face in everyone we meet. We ask these things in the name of our Heavenly Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and our guiding light, our Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join us in singing the Lord's Prayer.
Time for Young at Heart.
Today's story is His Grace is Enough, written by Melissa Kruger, illustrated by Isobel Lundy. You're hiding from me and look so upset. Did you do something wrong that now you regret? Oh, don't run away. Come sit over here. Let's talk together. You've nothing to fear. I've something important to tell you today. It's true and it's hopeful and helps guide your way. God's grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me. If you make a big mess or tell a small lie, if you're lazy with chores and don't even try, if you get fiery mad and hit someone hard, or cheat a good friend as you play in the yard, if you steal someone's toy or say something mean, what can you do to make yourself clean? Running and hiding away from the light, will that be enough to make it all right? I'll tell you again, for you need to know, never forget this wherever you go. God's grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough both for you and for me. You might try to hide by doing what's good, trying to fix it, if only you could. You clean the whole house and work super hard, take out the trash and mow the front yard. Make straight A's in school and never complain, not even when lunch is soaked by the rain. You try and you try, you try hard as you might. Will that be enough to make it all right? My child, here's the truth. From God, you can't hide. He sees what you've done. He knows what's inside. But please don't despair. There's good news, I say. Whatever you do, God's grace makes a way. Yes, His grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me. Here's how it works. Jesus died on the cross. We gain new life because He suffered loss. Though we don't deserve it, our God is so kind. That's grace pure and simple, the best thing to find. So just say you're sorry. It's amazing, you see. He paid the full price. Now we can be free. Not free to sin more. He doesn't want that. Free to live free, and that's the great fact. Believing in Jesus gives a new heart and forgives all our sin so new life can start. So there's no need to hide and no need to run. Now you can serve Him with gladness and fun. I love you so much, I want you to know. Cling to this truth wherever you go. His grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough to change you and change me. The end. We all get things wrong sometimes, and we can't make everything right again, however hard we try, but Jesus can. It's time to discover what God's amazing grace really means for us each day. His grace is enough. Amen.
Amen. Our next hymn is Open My Eyes That I May See, number 454, 1-3.
Of truth thou sendest clear, and while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything falls. cross will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thou to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Our scripture reading today is from Psalm 32, 1 and 2, and Luke 6, 37 through 41. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And for Luke, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but every disciple who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but you do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take out the speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. The word of God for the people of God. Blessed be to God.
Good morning. It feels like it's been a long time since I've seen you. I'm glad you're here this morning. Peace in forgiveness. In June 2002, a 14-year-old girl was kidnapped from her home in Salt Lake City. She spent 9 months in captivity, in which her captors were a husband and his wife. They tied her up, raped her daily, and made threats about her family if she made any attempts to escape. In March 2003, she was rescued by the police and returned to her family. This ordeal would have left many of us in a permanent state of rage, but incredibly, not her. Shortly after her release, she made the decision to forgive her captors for all the things that they had done to her, the horrible things, and move on with her life. Forgiveness, however, did not come instantly or easily. It was a process. Like her, many believe that forgiveness is simple. And when she returned home from her rescue, she still thought about forgiveness in that way. It took time for her to realize that forgiveness is not a gift that you give to somebody else. It is something that you do for yourself while not excusing what has happened to you. She discovered that she could accept her past in order to reclaim her future. In time, her epiphany became that she had forgiven, she had let it go, and that forgiveness was a personal act of self-love. That child was Elizabeth Smart, and today she is an activist for child safety. And 2020, Elizabeth's story was published in Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt's book, The Gift of Forgiveness, along with 21 other people's stories of forgiveness. Friends, will you pray with me? Our gracious and loving God, I open my heart to your Spirit so Jesus may take the words from my mouth and my heart to be acceptable to you as I share them with these friends today. Amen. It is the third Sunday of Lent. Finding peace in forgiveness feels like an appropriate topic for this season of spiritual preparation. Four short realities of forgiveness to start. It is very personal. It is between you and Yahweh, or God. It is not necessarily a two-way street, and it does not have to be shared with the one you are forgiving. And no two acts of forgiveness are alike. Forgiveness is a very hard concept to tackle, because most people, including me, we want to ignore what is obvious and inevitable. When we do decide to forgive, peace will begin to heal the pain. Because I have been able to forgive childhood and young adult traumas, the words I share with you today are going to be much more personal. It will reflect some of my journey of learning how that forgiveness is not a weak stance, but rather it is a very courageous and a brave gift to give yourself, to leave the past behind and rescue your future so that you can live it differently. It is my hope that if you need to forgive someone, you will have the courage to do so. It doesn't matter how old you are capable of letting go of the past and embracing a life of peace. First, what is the importance of forgiveness according to Scripture? And what did Jesus say about forgiveness? I did a little research and found these approximate statistics, depending on the translation. Love one another is cited 26 times and only in the New Testament. Be not afraid is cited 97 times and it is in both Testaments. Forgive or forgiveness must be very important as it is cited 161 times in both the Old and New Testaments. Forgiveness comes from the Greek word aphaami, which means to let go. Teachings in forgiveness are mostly in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and there was also quite a few that appear in the book of Acts. What does Jesus say about forgiveness? In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, Peter comes to him and says, Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive them? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. This, of course, is hyperbole language. However, it means you just keep forgiving until you can let it go. An additional note for thought, forgiveness is not a package with a bungee cord attached. You don't hand it off to God to take care of for you because you're so tired of it. And then you mentally rest up and you take it back so you can continue to control your anger, your disappointment, or your disapproval. It stays with you because you didn't give it away to God. Both of our scriptures tell us, blessed or joyful are the ones whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, and forgive, and you will be forgiven. This morning, our scripture offers so much more, examples of how we get ourselves into trouble in the first place. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your friend, friend, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you don't see the log in your own eye? Human nature will always go at others first to fix them, to correct them, to give them unsolicited advice, long before we will ever examine ourselves. To illustrate this, we have two neighbors being, well, neighborly. Deb? And for those who will listen to this on audio later, we have a picture of a neighbor who has a teeny tiny little speck in his eye who is probably just annoying. And then we have the neighbor who wants to fix everything. Thank you. This is a very powerful bad habit to break, trying to fix someone else and not consider your own issues first. You need to ask Yahweh or God for forgiveness and or the person you have hurt. Then ask for guidance or wisdom to stop being critical of one another. Examine and mend yourself first. Everyone has a backstory, and there are some days that we're just hanging on by a thread. One snarky little comment can send us over the edge. Again, our scripture says, don't judge or condemn others as it will be done to you. Second, why should I forgive? I was wrong, incredibly wrong. Why do I have to forgive? They should be asking me for forgiveness. Well, that's a good question. In Psalm 32, we read that one who has their sins forgiven will find joy. They are blessed. In Luke 6, we read, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgiveness can be threatening at times. It goes against human nature. We want others to ask for forgiveness from us, but we find it quite difficult to offer forgiveness to others. Yet Yahweh has commanded that we forgive, so that we will be forgiven, just as God has forgiven us. Most of us could quote at least one scripture that gives this commandment from God. We say it when we recite the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is not us. It is us, not them, that need to let it go and change our behavior so we can find peace in our lives. They are not bothered by it. They go about their business while it is eating us up inside. Forgiveness is something that we give to ourselves, and when we don't, we make future decisions based on damaged emotions, anger, revenge, hurt, disappointment, and these emotions severely cloud our judgment. All of those emotions taint us into believing that we're okay, but we will eventually suffer physically, mentally, emotionally from holding tightly to those emotions of anger, disappointment, and disillusionment. Since time is not kind or hardly on our side, the longer we wait, the harder it is to forgive. If we wait too long, it might even be too late, as regret begins to dig in deeper and take hold. In the past, I have made decisions based on revenge, anger, disappointment, and it was, of course, totally the wrong decision for my life. But instead of forgiving myself and changing paths, I stubbornly continued on the path so I didn't have to admit that I had made a bad decision. And then, what about when something happens to you that you can't control? Life-threatening diseases, diabetes, cancer, dementia, or a debilitating accident. Have you adopted that burden that somehow it is your fault? If you can't control it and you can't fix it, you really need to stop blaming yourself. You're slowly erasing the peace out of your life that looks much more like you're wallowing in your own self-grief. Give it to Yahweh and leave it there. Forgive yourself as many times as it takes for you to finally let it go. Ask yourself this third week of Lent, do I owe myself forgiveness so I can restore my future? Lastly, let's examine the dilemmas about forgiveness. So what happens after I forgive? Or, so what happens if I don't bother to forgive? While there may be a lot of dilemmas, we're going to scrutinize two of them, arrogance and procrastination. And the book of Sirach from the Apocrypha, Chapter 5, verses 4 to 7, we read the answers that were given to the ancient people's questions regarding the importance of asking for forgiveness. do not say, I sinned. But what's happened to me? The Lord is slow to anger. I haven't seen a difference. Do not be so confident of forgiveness that you add sins on top of sins. Do not say, His mercy is great. He'll forgive a multitude of my sins. Both mercy and wrath are with him, and his anger will rest on sinners. Do not delay to turn back to the Lord, and do not postpone it from day to day. I've heard a few people in my time say, God's going to forgive me anyway, so why do I have to stop sinning right now? I'm just trying to have a little fun. In other words, why can't I just do what I want to do if I'm going to be forgiven anyway? All four of these verses begin with do not. I believe we can understand this picture of Scripture quite well. Asking forgiveness means stop doing what you're doing, let it go permanently, change your behavior, and don't do it again. Arrogance in forgiveness is also refusing to forgive, either yourself or someone else. When in your soul you know you need to and you just keep making excuses why you can't or why you won't. For the dilemma of procrastination, I have a personal story to share with you. When I was 12, I was sexually molested by a revered leader of our family church. When finally confronted, he was protected, and I was asked to keep it a secret. In other words, don't tell anyone, ever. That was a terrible burden to put on a child, to carry along with the emotions we'd talked about earlier. Anger, disapproval, not being valued, and again anger, for a very long time. And sadly, when one doesn't deal with the event or the incident fairly soon, it gets buried deep. Very, very way deep. Because when forgiveness was not forthcoming for decades, the damage was done to me, not to him. When the time came to finally forgive, while not forgetting the pain that it caused me or making the kajillion excuses why I wouldn't, to really let it go and no longer interact with those emotions, there was finally a peace that invaded my soul and stayed there. Here's the procrastination dilemma. Why didn't I do it sooner? Well, I didn't think I had to forgive. He did it. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that I knew how. I was just a teenager at that time. If I had forgiven myself earlier or him sooner, would I be a different person today? Absolutely. However, on the other procrastination hand, I did go through a lot for the next 50 plus years. Is that what made me who I am today? Is that what I'm supposed to be? While a lot of time can be spent supposing, eventually forgiveness was the gift I gave myself. It was not a two-way street of discussion. It was not me demanding an apology. It was me forgiving myself for allowing the time to lapse and the mistakes made as a result. It was a perfect gift of peace. In closing, forgiveness, whether to forgive yourself or others, is tough. We have to use our not used very often emotion of vulnerability to reach out, to settle differences, to accept others for who they are and where they are right now in their lives, and to begin a life in our present day with opportunities that Yahweh presents to us. When we're looking for them and not bogged down with anger or regret from our past. When we put off forgiveness, we add to the burden of our past and take away yet another day of our future, a future that includes living in peace and with joy. I thought you might like to see an illustration of all of those words. So this is kind of fun, I hope. This is what we do when we live in our past and we start losing our life. So here's our past. We got some junk in it. And then this is us. So this is today, and we have a fuzzy future working out there, and so if we take care of this today, the future might look brighter. Yep. If we don't, stuff keeps piling up here. And look, our future's getting smashed. But we're still there. We have a single day, today. We can do something about this. Deb? If we don't, look what's happening to our future, where we find peace and joy. And look what's happening to our past. And if we continue on this, that's what happens to our future. We don't have a future of peace or joy because we're still doing this. We've got bubbles coming up. We've got madness. We've got all the stuff that we're dealing with in our head all the time. Thank you. We only have one day at a time, this day, right here, present. One day at a time to watch diligently for chances to show others who we are. We are brothers and sisters in Christ who live in forgiveness as Christ has forgiven us. Our future is closing in on us, especially us old folk. Each and every day, we're given a new day to find peace and then find joy in forgiveness. If we live each day as though it is our last day, living that day with peace is far better than living that last day in resentment and anger, because it only impacts us, and it seldom impacts anyone who has harmed you. And wonder if this is our last day. Something happens, and this is our last day, especially if he's all the way forward. We've lost our future altogether. It is my hope and prayer for each of you to settle hardships from your past, to let them go permanently, so you too can experience peace and begin to enjoy your every last day of life. Amen.
Now would be the time for our presentation of our gifts and tithes. And we're going to have some special music from Lori. And you can always take your offering and put them in the plate at the back of the church, or you could bring them to the office, and we thank you for them very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, bless these gifts that we have offered you today. From your unfailing love and care for all of your people, let them be a sign of our gratefulness for all we have and all we can offer to others, especially those in need. Guide us with your Holy Spirit's wisdom to use these resources for your purpose and your ministry of loving you first with all we are and a second love for all of our neighbors. As your Son, Jesus Christ, has given himself for us, let us in turn give of ourselves for the sake of others. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Our last hymn is number 393, Spirit of the Living God, and we'd like you to start softly and then grow to the third. Amen.
So good to worship with you this morning. I'd like to thank all of our musicians, our special music, Deb and Susan in the sound booth, and Deb for all of her extra work on all my ideas and visuals to come out of my head and actually put it on paper. Thank you very much. For those of you who kept our service in prayer last week, thank you, as you continue to keep our service in prayer for next week. And now for the benediction. Through your word, gracious and loving God, let your Holy Spirit open our insight, remove our prejudice, kindle our passion, guide us towards forgiveness to those we owe forgiveness, bring us closer to you and guide us in fulfilling your ministry while we are still here on earth. Let us live one day, each day at a time, for you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.